Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Armor Report. It's Friday, 30th November. Thank you for joining me on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm live streaming on YouTube. So for my YouTube followers, thanks for joining me here. A lot to get to today. This is day three of a significant risk on buy signal across the board in equities. This is the Armor Report. This is a show about stock market investing in the millennial age. Armor stands for Algorithmic Risk Management Research. It's a live trading desk. I've got computers all around me. I'm trading as we speak. Some of our algorithms work automatically, so there's automatic trading. I don't have to do much. Others guide us in how we put capital to work. So on this trading desk, we manage our own private capital and that of individual investors, all of which is done through Interactive Brokers. It's a relationship we have with them. And we combine traditional fundamental analysis with millennial tools of today's stock market. This isn't your dad's stock market, not your granddad's. It's more information coming at you from every angle. And you've got to figure out a way to tamp down the noise and focus your investment strategy correctly. And what we do on our desk is we've developed proprietary algorithms to help us do that, to help us do things. And this is such a cliche, but this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to buy low, sell high, right? We're trying to get rid of fear and greed and make decisions that are based on probabilities and statistics, that are based on reward versus risk, and that aren't based on ego. And that's probably the hardest thing to do as an investor. So when I have this conversation with investors, people who want to join us, they join us through Interactive Brokers. They link their account to one of our three algorithmically directed accounts, conservative, a balanced, and a more aggressive approach. And when we talk about it, they ask me about, or they hear me talk about, this is not your dad's market and it's a different market. And I just want to clarify, because I get this question a lot at the beginning of the show. Let's just clarify. Can you do research on a company, on a theme, buy that stock and hold it for 5 or 10 years and make a lot of money? Absolutely. Absolutely. Not debating that with you. If you're that type of investor, go for it. Good for you. But the volatility we see today is so enormous that most people can't make it through. I've been doing this 30 years. I've worked with investors one-on-one for 30 years. And I'd say at best, 10% of them can make it through the horrific market swings that we go through now. So they start off as long-term investors and they get blown out at the wrong time. And so what we have to do is change that mentality for most people. Put capital to work after weakness. We then have to be disciplined and stop putting capital to work once the market goes up. You don't keep chasing it. You put all your capital to work when the reward versus risk is at its best. Then once you start getting paid and you're making money, you don't get greedy. You enjoy the ride and you look for targeted exits where you book some profits on the way up to help you control your emotions and you raise your stop. If the market wants to go into a huge hyperbolic run, great, you make a fortune. If the market does its usual ebb and flow, then you're booking profits on the run and you're looking to reestablish things at lower prices. That's what we're doing with our algorithms. Now, it's true, before I get into the rest of the day, you are looking at a vintage Dallas Cowboy jersey. Just want to get to that on YouTube. This is a vintage jersey on the back. Anybody who knows Dallas Cowboys knows number 33. It's Tony Dorsett. All right? Been a huge fan for a long time. Last night was a big win. It was fun for me. So I thought I'd represent. All right. Without further ado, let's get to what we like to do to begin the show, which is look at our big five algorithms, the big five indexes, the S&P, the NASDAQ 100, the Dow small cap index, and then my favorite, I think it's my favorite, is the Momentum Index, These are exchange-traded funds that we invest in and we use to direct our investment overall. That's another millennial tool. You've got to learn about ETFs. You have to use them. And at the very least, you have to understand how they affect your portfolio and stocks in your portfolio. I find the best website for that is ETF.com. Full disclosure, I have no relationship with ETF.com. I just think it's a great website. It helps you really drill down into each ETF, find out what stocks are in each ETF. And I use it on a regular basis to direct my own research into individual companies. I like to find ETFs that fit a particular theme or a group, and I'll get to this later in the show, and then drill down in there to find what stocks dominate that ETF and then do research to see if I want to own the stocks as well along with the group. Okay, so bouncing around a little bit, but let's get to these top five indexes. We have proprietary algorithms we wrote for the volatility of all five of these indexes. And I say I love the momentum index the most because I think it's a really good leading indicator, right along with the small cap index. Small caps lead on the downside. This is why in our podcast from September 24th of this year, we were telling you to raise cash and get defensive right in front of the collapse of October. And way before everybody else was worried about the death cross in the small cap index, we were selling that index right near the highs of the year because of our algorithm and our risk management research. And on the flip side, the momentum index is following, as its name suggests, momentum companies, the top tier big cap momentum names. And in an uptrending market, they tend to outperform. So if the risk on entry in all five of these indexes is good, we should start getting outperformance in MTUM. We'll see if we do. Those of you who are following me on Twitter, great. I want you to go there right now, take a look at my Twitter feed. Those of you who haven't started doing that yet, give it a shot right now. The picture's worth a thousand words, and I'm going to talk about a chart that I just put up of the S&P 500. So you can follow me on Twitter at hashtag Armor Report, A-R-M-R Report. You can also go to our website. It's rosenthalcapital.com. Scroll down to the bottom and you'll see our Twitter feed. And I tweeted out that I thought I should probably name this show the double bottom versus the downtrend for the S&P. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But right now, everything is good. We look at our five indexes. We know we got long over the a couple days ago, right? We started by buying small caps in the NASDAQ 100 before Chairman Powell's speech. Then we added the other three indexes after his speech when we got confirmation of our risk on opportunity. I told you then that I was holding back a certain percentage of my position to add on weakness later in the week. We didn't really get serious weakness yesterday. Right now, as I look at the markets, they're just kind of consolidating near the opening range highs today. So I haven't gotten weakness there yet. I'm looking for weakness later in the day. I'll get to that in a minute. But another positive note, there are some positive things about this particular buy signal that lead me to believe we need to aggressively get long the equity markets. Now, I have conservative, balanced, and aggressive portfolios that our partners link to through our Interactive Brokers portal. So when I say aggressive, you know, it's a conservative account, let's say, or a conservative portfolio. It's going to be the least aggressive, but it'll be the most aggressive I can get in that account, right? That's how I kind of look at it. And the reason I'm aggressive is, A, all five gave us a risk on entry point in a 24-hour period. That's what we're looking for. B, it happened after a two-month sell-off and a perfect double bottom. So the reward from here is worth the risk we're taking. I like to buy as close to the stop as possible. The stop is so obvious at this point that it gives me courage to put a lot of money to work. And I'm willing to lose it. If we lose money, it's okay. This is a statistical probability approach to investing. This is not a guarantee. This is not, I have to be right. This is not ego. Right? Let's just think about statistics for a minute. If we were right only 50% of the time, every time we put money to work, we lose money half the time. But our stop loss is small. And the 50% of the time we make money, our gains are multiples of our losses. We're going to have a profitable system. Okay, you could just do that. Our algorithms jack up our success up to 90% on the S&P. It means 90% of the time when we get long the S&P, we're getting out of the profit. Now, it doesn't mean that 9 out of 10 times we make a huge amount of money. It just means that the market extends high enough for us to raise our stops, start booking some profits, protect our capital. Sometimes it turns into a multi-month bull market and we've locked in at the right prices. Other times it's a 2 or 3 week rally. We book a profit and we go back to cash as the market sells off. I'm still a little under the weather, so forgive me. I'm going to have a sip of tea and honey as I go about this. So I'm just listing for you why we're so bullish right now, why we're getting aggressively long. Sharing some statistics with you from our algorithm. Goes back 20 years. Could go back further, but I think that would be a waste. It's still successful if we go back further. But really, the last 20 years are the most important, and quite frankly, a overweight on the last 10 is the most important. During that period, when we get this risk-on type of entry on every index, where the market's up over 2% on the day, it's usually the best entry. It's the hardest to buy. It seems frightening. You've just had a big kind of, not a bear market, but a real volatile negative market for 2 months. So you're thinking that a big sell-off is right around the corner again. But that's how turns take place. They turn big. It traps people. The shorts are trapped. The longs don't know what to do because they're thinking maybe it'll come down. And if this entry point is right, it'll just churn higher, and really keep people off the bus, as my friend Bill Jacobs says, for as long as possible. The other thing is, when we get a risk on signal, I like to see the market extend enough to raise our stop. Our first target we call in our algorithm the raise stop target. If we can get these positions on and then get them into a raise stop target, we can wall off our risk. And I like to see that happen inside of 5 trading sessions from the entry point. So if we go look at the big indexes right now, the NASDAQ's already done it. That's the first of the 5 to hit its raise stop target, which means we've raised the stop to better than break even. So theoretically, there's nothing I could do about gap downs. So the market could certainly gap below my stop and take us into negative territory. But theoretically, on a normal day of trading, we would get stopped out at this point at a slight profit on this investment. So 1 out of 4 has already hit that target. And what I'm looking for in the next 2 or 3 trading sessions is for the other 4 to hit that raised target. And then we really will know it's game on. We're going to have an extended rally that'll last a number of weeks, not a number of days. We're not there yet. We'll have to see what happens over the next 2 or 3 trading sessions. We really need a follow through or an extension. But we got the cues doing that. So that's a good sign. All right, now let me talk about some negatives. Take a look at the Twitter feed, hashtag Armor Report, at Brett Rosenthal, B-R-E-T Rosenthal. I put up a picture, a chart of the S&P 500. SPY is the symbol. And I tried to show you how it's very clear on the chart. We have a double bottom, which I highlighted in those green boxes for you, and that the second bottom is higher than the previous. So we made a higher low, and we did not touch the downtrending channel. Those red downtrending lines, the channel of downtrend we've been in since the top of September, we didn't touch it. So we made a higher low and didn't confirm the downtrend line. That's usually very bullish. But now we're right up against the downtrend that comes into play since the top of September. So it's the double bottom versus the downtrend. Who's going to win? We don't know. I don't know. I know statistically speaking, I have to put money to work here. It's the right place for me to put on risk. But I don't know which side's going to win. If we break out above this downtrend, which takes us above the 200-day moving average, it's game on. And we'll be hitting the raise stop on all of our positions, and we'll know that we're going to have a real nice move. But if we stall out here and roll over, then it's very possible that we're entering a multi-month bear market. So we'll have to just wait and see. I'm not in the prediction game. I don't care about Trump. I don't care about, the Democratic Congress or House. I don't care about any of that noise. I care that the Fed has said they're going to ease up on their tightening cycle. I know that the market likes that. We have a risk on entry point. We have a double bottom. It all looks good, but we are right up against the downtrend now. So it's game on right here. And it's going to be interesting to see which way the market breaks. I spoke about rule number 5 yesterday. Let's go over it again. Particularly at the beginning of a new risk on cycle, you have to build your investment strategy when the TV's off, when the market's closed, when there's no noise. You have to think the process through correctly, and then you have to execute that ruthlessly when the market's open. Do not let the market get you off your game, because that's what it's designed to do. This is the millennial market. There are algorithms written to get you off your game on an intraday basis. Recommend you avoid day trading unless you're using an algorithm yourself. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. I know it's fun to day trade, and I know you have a good month here or there, but if you're honest with yourself and you look back over the body of work when it comes to day trading as a human, chances are you're losing money. It's not your fault. You're always going to lose money. There's computer strategies that are written to fleece you, to take advantage of you. You're a human. You have emotion. Computers don't. It's so easy to write those algorithms. So what you want to do is create a strategy when the TV is off, when the market is closed, and then execute that strategy and forget about the noise of the intraday trade. For me, my strategy, we got our risk on signal. We put our initial positions on. I held back a certain percentage of my positions that are in cash to execute on weakness either yesterday or today. Maybe I get some weakness on Monday. I don't know. I'll have to see what happens. I'm hoping it's today. But hope is a killer. Hope's a killer. The title of the book I'm writing, when I'm all done with this and I pass this on to my children and I publish for you guys, is going to be Never Cross Your Fingers. If you're crossing your fingers hoping you're going to be right, you're already losing money. You just don't know. You don't know it yet. You're delusional. So I say, I hope the market's going to be weak this afternoon, but already I feel sick that I just said that. I can't hope. I can't get emotional. I don't care. All I know is my strategy. I have some cash on hand to put to work on weakness. And I'm looking for that weakness to occur at some point trading day 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 after the original long entry. Preferably it happens 1, 2, or 3. Right? Somewhere in there is usually a whoosh down to freak people out before it rips higher. Not every time, though. It doesn't happen every time. Oh, I forgot to mention this. We're going into the best time of the year for the market, December, January, February. So we get a double bottom risk on buy signal across the board in every index. The Fed says they're not going to be as aggressive tightening, and we're in the best time of year for equities. And you're worried about Trump? You hate the president? What's that got to do with making money in the equity market, I ask you? Zero. All right. So that's my strategy I'm sharing with you. You have to come up with your own strategy. But I'm just sharing with you how I'm going to execute rule number five on my list of rules, 30 years, you know, on the road of investing, in my book titled Never Cross Your Fingers. Come up with your strategy when nobody is yelling in your ear, and then execute the strategy. So, you know, and I really love that you guys are here listening to me. I really appreciate you because you keep me honest. Because I'll be honest with you right now. I'd love to put more money to work right now. Oh, I want to do it. God. Looks great to me right now, but I'm not doing it. That last piece of cash is for weakness. It's not to emotionally put money to work because I think the market's going up. I don't know what the market's doing from here. I buy weakness and I sell into strength. And that last piece is for weakness. And if I never get it and the market just skyrockets, guess what? I'm going to make a lot of money. Great. So be it. That'll be a ripping market. If it never sells off in here, if it never gives that shakeout, that'll be an unbelievable market. I won't be greedy. I'll be happy with the money I'm making. Okay. Let's get to the research part of this show. I always like to end the show on a research note. During the sell-off of the last couple of months, I've been preaching that you really need to be working on your whiteboard and figuring out what themes you want to own, and then what what stocks best represent that theme. And then you look at the market sell-off, and the cream rises to the top. I'll give you an example. 5G. There's a strategy or a theme we want to invest in over the next X amount of years. Probably the single best semiconductor company representing that theme is a company called Xilinx. Now, I'm giving you this story because the stock's already up huge. I'm not telling you to buy it today. This is just an example of the cream rising to the top. The market was cratering the last couple of months. They're killing the semiconductor stocks, killing them. And Xilinx is at a new high for the year, blowing through the 90s, because they blew out their earnings number in the last earnings call. I didn't buy the stock. I mean, I'll be honest with you. The market was cratering, and I was risk off everywhere, and I wasn't going to go out there and buy a semiconductor company in front of earnings. God, I wish I did, though. I mean, they killed the quarter, and I think that's a great story for a long time, but now I just have to be patient and wait for the next bout of weakness that gives me my opportunity. So on my whiteboard, I got a bunch of names for 5G. That one got away from me. It's okay. I got others. I'm buying others. Everybody knows, for instance, Qualcomm. It's a 5G story. The stock is down. It pays a 4% yield. I don't think I'd be sharing too much information with you. But I tell you, that's a name on my list. Now, yesterday, Jim Cramer was interviewing the CEO of the company. He talked about cutting a deal with Apple. That's the only reason why I don't love Qualcomm. It's just seems like every other day there's a story, positive or negative, when it comes to their legal battle with Apple. So it's not my favorite 5G story, but with a 4% yield, it's certainly attractive. So I just thought I'd give you a list from our research desk, what our favorite themes are, and then you do your own research and your own work to determine if it fits your risk profile and whether or not you want to invest, and then what stocks to buy. I try to generally avoid talking about stocks that I'm buying on this show for obvious reasons. Talk about themes. I'll name some big stocks that pretty much everybody knows, like Qualcomm, but there are some smaller cap, mid cap 5G names that I'm buying that are really working. You'd have to work with me if you want to know what they are. So feel free to open an account, Interactive Brokers, and choose one of our three linked accounts, and we can work together. Or give me a call. Go to our website, rosenthalcapital.com, and we can talk about it. But 5G is a place to go. It's revolutionary. It's this hackneyed phrase. It's a paradigmatic shift in business. People say paradigm shift. That's the wrong use of the word. It's paradigmatic, but I digress. Okay. I also love cybersecurity stocks. Now, those of you who follow this podcast know that I'm a big fan of Splunk. Splunk's a big data company that has a huge cybersecurity component. We had a risk on buy signal 3 days ago in the stock, right in front of the earnings number. Today, or last night, they announced earnings. It was another earnings blowout. They raised guidance again. This is a juggernaut in the cybersecurity space. Stock is up 6% right now. It was up 7.5% earlier. It's just a juggernaut. So if the market goes higher, it's a good way to play cybersecurity. But HACK, H-A-C-K, is the ETF for cybersecurity. It's got all the best players, you know, in the space. And you can drill down at ETF.com into HACK, see what they own, and start doing research on your own. So we got 5G. We got cybersecurity. We got the SaaS cloud migration. It's a, you know, kind of an older story, but it continues to deliver. Microsoft's at the top of the list. Got a risk on entry point 3-4 days ago. We're long Microsoft. It's making, you know, it's making a nice run. I think IGV is a good ETF. They'll give you some clues on what stocks are in the big cap software space. But then you got to do your own homework and figure out which ones are really leveraging their business. SaaS is called Software as a Service. It's a cloud offering, and what you're looking for is companies that take their traditional business model and convert it to software as a service cloud offerings. You know, when Microsoft goes from selling you Windows software in a shrink wrap box to selling you Windows 365 and you pay for a subscription, there's the link. That's what you're looking for. Adobe did it. Microsoft has done it. These stocks have been huge. So look, and by the way, that's kind of what I love about Splunk. Splunk is doing it too. So they're cybersecurity and they're taking advantage of the cloud. And the SaaS type of transaction. All right, let's end up on my favorite group of all, and that's the marijuana stocks, the cannabis stocks. You guys have been following me for the last couple months, know that we were getting long. MJ is the ETF of the cannabis stocks. Back on the 15th of August, we had a 50% run in 5 weeks. We booked profits on that. When the market sold off hard, they brought all these stocks right back down on top of their base. What I love about the last couple of months is that all these companies have announced earnings for the a lot of them for the first time publicly. So we've been on conference calls. We've been doing research. Again, I'm not really going to share with you the stocks that I'm buying. Some of them are small. I don't want to mess with them, but I'm accumulating those stocks right now. But suffice it to say, and I'm going to end on this note when it comes to the cannabis stocks, and maybe I'll do another podcast and really just focus on the marijuana stocks at some point again, because it's worth updating. But what we're looking for, for you to understand the cannabis story, first of all, I listen to these conference calls. Nobody's on them. Okay. So they're completely under-owned by Wall Street. When I say nobody's on them, I mean like there's two or three questions and the show's over. You listen to a conference call, a Splunk, it goes on for an hour of Q&A and everybody under the sun's on the call. Nobody's on the call for these companies. It's so early in this space. It's incredible. Do your homework. And I would just leave you with this. I got 30 seconds. Ready? The cannabis story is like the sugarcane story in the turn of the century in the 1900s, okay? Some companies make the cane and they sell it. That's a commodity business. I don't have an interest in that. Some companies make sugar. They extract it from the cane and they sell sugar for someone to put in their coffee. That's a nice little change, but there's no IP. There's nothing, no intellectual property in that process. What I'm looking for are the companies that are taking that sugar and turning it into a product like Coca-Cola, right? That's what we're looking for. Look for the cannabis companies that have intellectual property and are taking THC and CBD oil and turning it into a product that has thick margins. That's what you're looking for. Have a good day trading. Be safe out there. Have a good weekend. I'll talk to you again on Monday. Take care.